This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Well, guys, you've been asking for it. And by asking for it, I mean nobody's asked for it. But you know what? It's finally time. The regular season in MLB has started. It's time to bring you the first 2024 Joey Gallo update.
Joey Gallo, he can't hit over 200, but he can sure smack a ball over the fence. It's the Joey Gallo update.
So, Mike, what has Joey Gallo done so far for the Nationals this season?
He's their starting first baseman. We talked about that previously.
I know. Somehow
he got the starting gig. And actually, if you look at their record right now, this is before they played on the 12th of April. So this is 12 games into the season. They're almost at 500. They're at 5-7, which admittedly is only good for fourth place in the NL East, tied with the Mets. And I'm sure you have stuff to say about that. But regarding Dear Joey, he looked like his normal self to start off the season. Hitless, hitless, hitless. But then, on the fourth game of the season against Pittsburgh Pirates, he went 3-for-4 with his first home run of the year. And his average went from 000 to 188 in one night. But then he started becoming his normal self. He went 1-for-3 the following night, 0-for-2, then 1-for-4, 0-for-3, then 1-for-5 this past Monday in San Francisco, but with a homer. So he brought his average, well, not back up to, but it went down in that span from 188 down to 182. And Tuesday went 0-for-3. And last game, Wednesday, he went 1-for-3, bringing his average down to 179. But that one was a home run. So officially, Joey Gallo has 7 hits. 3 of them are doubles, 3 of them are home runs. So 6 extra base hits out of 7.
I'm telling you, he's going to make history. He's going to have like 70 hits, but he's going to have 50 home runs.
It's possible, but how long is Washington going to keep playing him? He's going to bat like 175.
I don't know, but you know what? I hope they keep playing him for the comedy.
Well, he's going to be a liability at some point. But I will also add this, just to throw out an amazing little stat here. So in the month of April, Joey Gallo, as I said, has 3 doubles, 3 homers, all his hits. His slugging percentage is .704. That's Barry Bonds level slugging percentage, even though he's batting only .259 for the month. You are absolutely shocked he has a slugging percentage of .704 in the month of April.
Oh, man. It is shocking that he has a slugging percentage of over 700 so far. But I'm sure that average is going to be going way up.
Well, no, like I said, the slugging percentage isn't for the season. It's for just the month of April. You got to factor all those 0-for-4 games he had back in March. His slugging percentage, once you mix those 3 games in, is actually down to .487. So maybe he just needed the calendar to turn over to April. And now that we're in April, he's like, you know what? I'm going to go all Barry Bonds on the ball while hitting for like a .250 average, while being average at best. Hey, that's the update. I think we got a show we got to get to.
That's right. Now, wait, what is it we're going to be talking about again?
It's not called what. It's called guess what.
What?
What?
Not what. Guess what.
What?
What?
Somebody need to clean their ears out? I said it's called Guess What.
Oh, okay. Theme song.
An anthology about the bad, the short-lived, and the forgotten shows and events in television history. This is It Was a Thing on TV.
Punisher! Control!
Tell me before I change my mind!
I give you Super Train!
Whoa. episode 466, submission number 2544. Guess what? Oh, now you're not going to do a what joke. Okay, I got you.
What? What?
You're just going to ask what throughout the entire course of the episode with no context. Just be like, what?
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 Guess what? Aired on CTV in Canada from 1982 to 1988 for six seasons. And this, I think, is the most episodes of any show we've ever covered. It aired 780 episodes. And I did the math for you, Greg. That is 48 and three quarters croc blocks.
Wow.
And that's not even converting it to Canadian, whatever TV show converts from croc blocks to whatever in Canada. So, you know, it could be like, who knows how many hanging ins? Oh, that's actually a good question. How many hanging ins is this? Wikipedia says that hanging in ran for 110 episodes. So 780 divided by 110. That would be just over 7. I can't believe I'm actually doing this. That would be 7.0909 repeating, hanging ins. I think that's what we're going to do for all Canadian shows from now on. We're going to count the number of episodes in hanging in measurements. Croc blocks are strictly for American shows.
Well, depending on whenever the hell it ends, like, Portland could have, like, its own section for the Canadian units. I think it's lasted, like, more than two hanging ins. Yeah, 259 episodes.
Well, alternatively, maybe we can call it a corner gas. Oh, that only ran for 107 episodes, so it ran for three less than hanging in. So that's like 98% of a hanging in. So forget it. Just go to the generic theme music.
I wonder if Lance Storm ever watched Hanging In 2. Theme song.
Get ready to guess who produced Animal Crackers, where a toothbrush is from, when Copeland met a star. If you can guess, you'll win on Guess What. And now, here's the star of our show, Robin Ward.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, and welcome to our show. We've got a great show today with some peculiar questions to attempt to confuse our family teams. And we hope that you at home and you in our studio, as long as you don't do it too loudly and give anything away, will join in and play along with our teams.
After that, somehow we need to talk about this in a normal manner. We'll try our best. So we've talked about a number of Canadian shows over the past almost 5 years. We've talked about The Mad Dash, which really might be the most classic Canadian game show ever, with all apologies to the folks who like definition. And, of course, we've talked about The New Liars Club with Shoddy LaRue.
Shoddy LaRue and that Rolls Royce in the open.
And this just gives me a reason to play that clip that I said I was going to retire, so I'm going to just put it in here.
My son's favorite character from my son's favorite show he plays, Shoddy LaRue, and Frank's plays Don Yeso.
But yeah, the Rolls Royce. Again, what's a Rolls Royce doing driving down downtown Vancouver in 1988? So many questions and so few answers. But also, how dare I forget another TV show that we talked about from Canada. Susan, tell us what it is.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
That's right. It's Uh-oh. If you remember that episode, which I think is seriously low-key a good episode, especially given that I edited in every time we said the word uh-oh, it was Susan saying uh-oh. We treat our Canadian game shows with a ton of respect around here. And we're going to do the same thing with Guess What, Darn It.
Yeah. Wait, you know what other Canadian show we covered? Learning the Ropes. That was Canadian.
Oh, that's right. I was looking at it from just the game show perspective, but you're absolutely right. We did cover Learning the Ropes. And also, we're going to cover, in the not-so-distant future, 15. And 15 recorded in Canada for the first two seasons.
And then it recorded at Nickelodeon Studios at Universal Studios Orlando for the last two. But we're saving that for a special month coming up. I won't say when, but let's just say that month involves a certain, what'd you say, a rodent? Like a certain Wolverine, you might say.
Oh, I thought when you said a certain rodent, you're talking about Risky Rat. Do it, do it, do it, do whatever you want at Risky's. Do whatever you want.
By the way, there was somebody in the crowd at WrestleMania in Philly dressed up like Charlie Kelly in that episode.
I think they're dressed like the birds?
Yeah, something like that, I think.
That is amazing. As I was saying, we're going back to Canada, and we're going to talk about this show. It was actually created by Nick Nicholson and E. Roger Muir. Where you might know them from, they created the Newlywed Game. That wasn't a Chuck Barris creation. That was a Nicholson-Muir creation. But also on top of that, they did pay cards. And they did Super Pay Cards.
Oh, Super Pay Cards. I love Super Pay Cards.
I like Super Pay Cards, too. That's a truly Canadian show, and it's a fun little show. I mean, it's not a real brain teaser of a show. You're just playing, like, concentration meets poker, but it's a fun little show. And the host of this show is actually somebody that we've talked about in the past. It's Robin Ward, who hosted To Tell the Truth in 1980. And then the announcer, at least for the first four seasons, was Nick Hollenrake, who also announced on, as I mentioned earlier, The Mad Dash. But then you had a gentleman called Mike Catrice, who took over for the final two seasons. Now, guess what is a trivia show? The game and everything surrounding the show, the reason I picked this episode is it is so generic. It looks like and sounds like something that you'd see on a sitcom. This would have been like the type of TV show that like Larry and Balky would have went on. Yeah, this is something that maybe, well, so you need three people actually for, guess what? We'll get to the rules in a little bit. But since three people are needed, what you could do is you could have Tony, you could have Mona, and you could have Angela. I can't do it. Angela. You do it.
Angela.
Yeah. So Tony and Mona and Angela. Time frame fits. It said 82 to 88, and Who's the Boss would have started in 83, so it could have worked. So as I just alluded to, guess what was a show that had three contestants on each team. There were two teams, two families. Could have been, you know, siblings or mother and a father and a kid. Just some familial relationship. And it was a trivia game. And the way it was played is there were questions, multiple choice questions, six multiple choice questions, actually. So if your team got the question right on the first guess, out of the six choices, you got 60 points. If you were wrong, control went to somebody on the other team. And if they got it right, they got 50 points. And if not, the control bounces back, but now it's worth 40 points. And then 30, 20, and 10. If nobody got it right, I'm guessing, and there's some evidence out there, but I'm guessing maybe either 10 points or maybe they got zero because they're not just going to give 10 points away because you sort of lucked into the correct answer. So there were three questions in this first round. So possible 180 points. After three of the multiple choice questions happened, they went to a team question where each player chose an answer among four. There's only a four choice, multiple choice question. And the way they locked it in, they had paddles. And really, the best way to describe these paddles is If you have ever owned a rice cooker, they have this paddle which sort of is like a scoop for the rice to break it up after you finish cooking it. All you who own rice cookers know what I'm talking about. But that's what the paddle looked like. It was sort of like a little circle on like a handle, and it had letters A, B, C, D. So the way this scored is if one person on the team got the right answer, it's worth 20 points. If two people got the right answer on the same team, it's worth 50 points. And if everybody on the team got the right answer, it's worth 100 points. Now, after that team question, the whole cycle is played over again. You had multiple choice questions and another team question, same stakes. So up to 60 points for the primary questions, and the team question is worth 100 points. And again, in the third round, very similar to how the first two rounds played, you had up to three questions, depending on the time, where it's worth 60 points apiece. But then the final team question is worth up to 300 points. It's anybody's game. If one person's right on a team, it's worth 100 points. If two people are right on a team, it's worth 200. And if all three are correct, it's worth 300 points. So really, it is anybody's game. And then the most points at the end of the game goes on to the bonus round. Woo! And the bonus round is three more questions. The first question has four multiple choice answers. Every person on the team has a chance to answer the question. And as long as the correct answer comes out in those three tries, they win for that question. What do they win? It's the bonus round, so you know there's big prizes. First question's worth $50. $50 Canadian. Emphasis on that. So we're
Ooh.
talking, yeah, we're talking like what? $40 at the time, American, $35. Yeah, big bucks. But then the second question, there's five choices. And again, there's three opportunities of getting the right answer. If they get the right answer to that second question, a huge $100. Big bucks. Not $100 additional, $100 total. So another 50. So it's augmented to 100.
Oh, wow, $100, Mike. They're really upping the stakes on this show.
Oh, but wait till you get to the last question. So the last question, there's six choices, and again, three guesses. And if the team gets the right answer in those three guesses, they win the grand prize.
What's the grand prize, Mike? I bet it's something very extravagant.
Oh, it's real extravagant. It varies from show to show, but taking a look at some episodes, the grand prize on the episode that I watched right before we started taping was a microwave.
What? A microwave?
Yeah, a microwave. So you're talking probably what, about 400, 500 Canadian back in the mid 80s? Big prize. The team that won, they're the returning champs. They can stay on for, depending on what time it is in terms of what era, what season. They can stay on for five or seven episodes. And if they win the maximum number of games, they retire undefeated, but also they win a vacation.
A vacation, Mike.
Yeah, I'm sure it's probably someplace extravagant, wonderful. Maybe like the West Edmonton Mall, or maybe like Montreal, or someplace that CTV probably paid no more than like $1,000 to send them to. It's not like they're going on vacation to Europe or Asia. Probably some, nice little vacation. We're going to send you from Toronto down to Niagara Falls and you can enjoy 3 days at Niagara Falls. Take that little car drive down to Niagara Falls.
Now hold on, West Edmonton Mall. Would they be able to meet the West Edmonton Mauler?
Well, now, actually, now that I think about it, didn't the West Edmonton Mall open in like 88?
Probably, yeah. Maybe you would be there for the end of Guess What? You could meet the West Edmonton Mauler.
Well, I think that would be perfect. Like, to close out the show, well, we're going to give you a very special trip. We're going to send you to the West Edmonton Mall, and you can meet the West Edmonton Mauler. So, yeah, the West Edmonton Mall really wouldn't be a legit option. But they did win some sort of vacation after they won X number of games. This show, if you want to look for it, there are some episodes on YouTube. But also, Greg, you vouched, and I believe Chico can vouch for it too. This is on bonusround.ca.
Yes.
And bonusround.ca, we've talked about in the past, for $1.99 a month. I don't think that's $1.99 a month Canadian. So you got to pay $1.99 in American funds. Sorry. But you can get access to... God, I'm just taking a look right now because it isn't just one episode. I'm sure they have many episodes. I don't see it listed in terms of how many episodes they have, but take my word for it. They do have it. I've seen clips of it. Boy, the clips I've seen. Robin Ward, he's mediocre at best. And that's giving him a ton of credit, calling him mediocre. But also, he's a horrible interviewer. There are some awkward interviews that I've seen. And just overall awkward moments regarding the show. And also, again, you heard the generic theme music, the sound effects. Everything is really done sort of on the cheap. It really does remind me of a sitcom game show. I wouldn't even say public access. That would be actually kind of mean. This is like a corny sitcom game show from the 80s. And I get that, you know, this is the 80s and the graphics aren't going to be like super fancy. And also they're not going to be super expensive because it's a Canadian show. But oh my gosh, it does look very, very cheap. And not cheap, cheap, cheap. So getting back to YouTube, from what I could tell, there are about a half a dozen episodes on YouTube, give or take. But also at the same time, I'll admit that my search, I tried searching for Guess What Game Show with Guess What in quotes, and then I added the word Canada. And again, I got like six episodes. There may be more out there. But again, the place that definitely has them is bonusround.ca. Many episodes. I can't tell you how many, but I'm going to assume there's more than the six that are out on YouTube. Again, give or take. Man, Chico's going to miss this entire episode. I feel bad for him. But we're not done with this episode because we do have to get a Match Game Hollywood Squares Hour update.
It's time for this weekend Match Game Hollywood Squares Hour History.
All right, we're in the middle of April of 1984. It is week 25. That means next week it'll be week 26. That means 6 months. We're going to have the 6 month anniversary of Match Game Hollywood Squares next week. This week we had Joe Santos, who played at least a couple of episodes of Match Game back in like 79 and 80. Deborah Sue Maffitt, who would have been on Dreamhouse at this time. Fred Travellina. Linda Dano, Soupy Sales, Tim Reed, Bill Anderson, and Edie McClurg. That's a quality lineup, if you ask me. Oh, no. I should have researched this beforehand. I think this is the week with the Is this the week with the British guy? Okay, I figured, but I didn't do the research. So this week, a couple of things. First, Johnny Olsen announced the Wednesday to Friday episodes. He's done that a couple of times. Second, there was a contestant that we've talked about in the past, a British gentleman who, let's say, had a fixation on Linda Dano. He was seriously, maybe not necessarily attracted to her, but he kept on calling her name. Why? I'm going to guess it's infatuation or something like that. But also, and I remember this when Match Game Hollywood Squares reran on Buzzer. I know it's still rerunning, but I haven't seen Match Game Hollywood Squares reruns for probably a good year and a half at this point. But on the Thursday episode of this week, the match game portion ended very early with a 6-6 tie in round two. So there's no reason to play round three. Just go straight to the tiebreaker. But since they had so much time left, coincidentally, there were cheerleaders from Louisiana. I think it was Louisiana Tech, if I remember correctly. But it was some university in Louisiana, and they were brought on stage to do a cheerleading routine to kill time. In terms of wins this week, and again, we're talking about the British guy who liked picking Linda Dano. There was only one win for the week, and coincidentally, it was with Linda Dano for $5,000. Not the best of weeks, but again, a memorable contestant, possibly in the wrong ways, but also a memorable segment where they had a team of college cheerleaders do their thing to kill time. As I said, next week, week 26, we are two-thirds the way through Match Game Hollywood Squares Hour. And we got, among other people, a recently inducted member of the It Was a Thing on TV Hall of Fame. If you heard the induction, you know who we're talking about, probably. But also, there was, I believe, an inductee from a previous year. Two It Was a Thing on TV Hall of Famers, at the very least. But also, somebody that we talked about, we talked about this person very early on. I think we talked about this person around episode 10. It was definitely one of the first, like, dozen episodes we did. He was known for a certain TV show that aired around this time, and I have one word for you, Greg. This will tell you who it is. Zippers!
Zippers!
I think Greg knows who we're talking about. And if you've listened to this podcast for any amount of time, I think you know who we're talking about. But we'll talk about that next episode. Let's wrap up the episode. Please do remember, you can go to our website at itwasathingontv.com. We have 465 previous episodes there. We are getting really close to 500, and we got a good one for you for 500. We have all sorts of stuff there, including minisodes, live shows, extended versions, previous episodes, instant reactions, delayed reactions. We've got before the show shows. We just did a before the show show before we recorded this. So there's plenty of stuff there. I think we're well over 620 different files. And also, please remember, we're on all social media at It Was a Thing on TV, except please remember, Facebook, we are at It Was a Thing on TV Podcast. And if you want to follow us on Mastodon, you can do that by searching for us at It Was a Thing on TV at tvwatch.party. Also, remember, you can find our podcast wherever podcasts can be streamed, like Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, I'm sure YouTube Music, now that they took over Google Podcasts, has us, iHeartRadio, Audible, independent podcast players. You can easily find us. We're out there. But also, please don't forget, we're also on YouTube. We have a lot of stuff on YouTube. Go there, like us, subscribe to our channel, and don't forget to hit that notification bell to stay informed of all future uploads on that channel, including what's coming up on the podcast next time. Before we get to what we're going to talk about next week, we're going to have a live show coming up later on this week. We hinted about it on the end of the before the show show. And there's a certain anniversary of a certain disaster. And actually, if you've been following the podcast for the last five years, this time of year, we talk about something related to that disaster. Involved a ship and an iceberg. I think you know which one we're talking about. It's the one that had Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio in a movie like 27 years ago. But we've talked about different movies about that disaster. I don't want to say it. I don't want to spoil it, even though I know you guys know what we're talking about. But we talked about a movie Specifically, one that had Susan. Yeah, that Susan. But also, we talked about an SNL, not really a skit, but a short involving this catastrophe, this disaster. And Chico and Greg saw a movie last year about this disaster. Well, we're going to see an animated movie about the disaster. And it's an animated movie with a rapping dog.
What?
I don't get it, but there's a rapping dog on this disaster and hilarity ensues? I don't know. This seems almost tasteless, but we're going to watch this and we're going to have a live show about it. But next week, speaking of disasters, oh my gosh, I maybe shouldn't like tie it in that way, but yeah, this show that we're going to talk about next week didn't last terribly long, lasted a season, and we're going to talk about a businessman who is widowed, and he adopts 5 daughters. And, well, you could say it's a real rags-to-riches story. Ha, 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 ha.
I didn't know that you could go shopping for daughters.
No, I'm not making a joke. No. Shopping for daughters. Well, I could make a joke about the 5-item limit on supermarket sweep. I could hear Johnny Gilbert like, oh, look, she's in the daughter aisle. She's got 1. Throws the daughter in. 2. Throws the daughter in. 3, 4, 5 daughters. And now she's got to go on to the sons and get 5 of them too. No. But yeah, we're going to talk about that story next week right here. It was a thing on TV. Thank you, as always, very much for listening. We will catch you next week with that episode.
What?
As you may have noticed, Chico was not here for this episode. And for the ending, I would like to go to Mr. Alexander and ask for his thoughts on guess what?
It looks like the love child of College Bowl and Common Knowledge. The very cheap love child of College Bowl and Common Knowledge. Even by early to mid 80s in Canada standards, it's very dated. Hey. I mean, the fact that it lasted 6 years is nothing short of a miracle.
Oh, it looks really dated. I mentioned earlier, it sort of looked like a bad sitcom game show. But also, Chico.
Yes! That's it right there. That's what I was trying to remember when I was watching episodes of this morning. I was like, this looks like the kind of game show you would see on a really bad sitcom.
Yeah, and we even mentioned, to keep it in line with the theme of 2 teams with 3 players, we mentioned a sitcom that this could have worked on, both in terms of time and also in terms of number of players, okay? Think about it. Tony, Mona, and Angela.
Of course.
But also, we talked about the general cheapness. The microwave as the big bonus prize.
The camera as the bonus.
Well, okay, so you saw a different episode than I did because I saw a microwave on mine. And so a camera. Whoa, hold on a second. That's actually a step down, Greg. Because I'm sure the cameras back in like 1985, 86, 87, they probably would have been like $300 or $400 Canadian. And I said the microwave was probably about $400 to $500. They got cheaper over time. But also, Chico, we did talk about that teams that retire, they want a vacation. In the last season, 1988, did they get a vacation to the West Edmonton Mall?
Hey. They get to ride that roller coaster at the West Edmonton Mall.
Okay, what else is at the West Edmonton Mall that we've talked about? Are you having an aneurysm or are you dying of laughing because you know what we're talking about? I think it's actually both.
It's not coming to me. God!
Oh, no. The West Edmonton Mauler.
Oh, the professional wrestler that Bruce Orton Stampede wrestled. Oh, this is a great idea for a wrestler. Oh. I don't know whether to cry or vomit.
Both's a valid answer.